Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Meaningful Conversations, the radio show powered by RD Solutions Marketing Firm. I am your host, Erica Harrison, and I want to thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to tune into this evening's broadcast. These conversations are meant to uplift, empower, motivate, and encourage you to go from potential to purpose. For each show, we interview business professionals in various industries to share their journey to success. Our mission is to empower world leaders and business professionals in the marketplace. Today, I have the opportunity to interview Ms. Patrina Dixon as we discuss how to break through financial barriers on today. So make sure that you like, comment, and share tonight's show. And the chat box function is available for anyone to use to ask questions or to make comments. Ms. Patrina is a certified financial educator, international best-selling author, and speaker. She is the founder and CEO of It's My Money and a 100 Women of Color alumni. She and her team are on a mission to help people transform their lives by mastering the fundamentals of money management. Ms. Dixon has been seen on Black Enterprise, Yahoo Finance, Real Simple, and Fox 61. She has also been recognized as a financial influencer by Experian. She attended the University of Hartsburg-Barney School of Business and has a financial management certification from Cornell University. Her most notable roles are the fact that she is a wife and also a mother. So without further ado, we want to welcome Ms. Patrina Dixon to the show. So excited to have her on tonight. Hello, how are you? Hello? I'm not sure if she can hear me. Oh. Wait really quick, guys. Sorry about that. Can you hear me, Ms. Patrina?
I can. Hello, hello.
Hi. I am so grateful and so thankful that you decided to come on Meaningful Conversations on this evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I'm sitting in New York City today, so I had a great day out. Thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you so much, and I can only imagine being a native from New York. I'm not sure what part you're in, but I know that it's a nice atmosphere and a lot to do.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, so today we just wanted to just provide a space for you to be able to impart to our leaders that are listeners on the show, emerging leaders, a little bit about your story. So after reading all your credentials and congratulations on everything that you have accomplished, I always like to take it back from the beginning. Little Patrina, when you first were born and as you, you know, begin to grow, what was your, you know, your dream job? What did you want to do growing up? How was life for you?
That, wow, what an interesting question. So little girl growing up, that's been so long ago. But I can tell you from what I can remember, one of the I call it professions that I was really interested in at a young age was being a lawyer. I was always truly intrigued how, and this is by way of watching law shows on TV, I was truly intrigued at how like a person or a team of people, team of lawyers that is, were able to find evidence and either one side being able to show that the evidence beyond a reasonable doubt the person has done whatever it is. And then on the other side, somebody is able to find a hole in that and to potentially somebody that is guilty make a person believe, well, maybe that person didn't do it based on what they presented. So that was always intriguing to me from both sides. So I had a desire early on to be a lawyer. And then, you know, life happened and things changes and I'm doing exactly what I feel like I'm supposed to be doing.
Wow, that's amazing. So I love the fact that you, you know, you touched on the fact that you had it, you know, in your mind that you wanted to, you know, be a lawyer, but life happened and that you still are able to do what you always intended to do. So on your journey to becoming who you are today, what were some barriers? You know, the financial sector is something that is really big and it has grown. But before, you know, the popularity in the financial area, tell me what caused you to want to enter into finance?
Oh, man, that one, you have some time to talk about that. So let me touch upon the life happens where I left that off last time, then which would bring me into answering your most recent question. And that is, when I say life happens, I was set up to go along the path that I want. I was in school. I was actually interning at, you know, a very prestigious law firm in the state that I lived in. And I ended up being a young mom, and that at that point in time, that was the priority in my life. So whatever it is that I had it very intentions on doing, it was no longer the priority in my life. So the change for me was my priority, based on where I found myself at that time, was to be the best mom that I knew how to be at a young age. I wouldn't say very young, but a young age. And as I went through that process, other things became interesting to me. Life, as I began to go through life, and I'll call in some situations muddled through certain things, I became very interested in how can I do better, and better meant in my mind, having more money, being more stable. How do I figure out things? And then what was presented in front of me was, you know, in order for my daughter to get into the best schools, I had to have a certain zip code so that could happen.
Wow.
So again, remembering I was a younger mom. So in my mind, it was, I needed to move to a different area. If I moved to a different area, that's going to cost more for the living in that area, so that she can go to the schools that were deemed as better schools, so she can have better opportunities. So that's how I thought about life that time. So that started to shift, you know, my thoughts of, okay, I need to, at that, you know, when I was thinking about becoming a lawyer, you're talking about several years of schooling, which I had to pay for, which would have been very expensive. So now it was like, now I work in corporate America and I need to continue progressing up the corporate ladder so that I can increase my salary. So that was my mindset. So how I shifted into what I do today, which is, again, what I feel like I was destined to do was I felt like I was working for every dollar made. And what I mean by that, like, if I didn't go work, I didn't get paid. If I didn't, you know, and that just became old. And then it also became, well, people that was doing exactly what I'm doing, or sometimes not as much, they seem to, like, be closing on their second house. They have two cars in the garage. And I'm just like, what am I doing? Like, why is my money feeling different, meaning less than what I see that happening with others? So I said, I wanted to learn this money thing, if you will. I wanted to master it. And then once I got to a place where I felt like, wow, it was really a shift in the mindset, I wanted to go out and teach everybody how to do it. Did you know it can be different? Because at the time when I was going through what I was going through, I didn't know it could be different. I thought you went to work, you got paid, you paid your bills, and then you did that all over again. And then you waited for two more weeks to get paid. Like, that's what I thought the process, the only process was there.
You know, I just want to say congratulations, you know, you highlighting and going more in depth regarding your story. You know, just really show perseverance and determination, because sometimes things happen in our life that are unexpected, you know, and it can cause us to remain stagnant and not further pursue, or we just give up on hope. So the fact that you, you know, were going to school for law, life happened, as you stated, you know, you had a child, your daughter, you know, you did not allow that to stop you. You still pursued. So I just wanted to say congratulations to you on that. You're welcome, because I believe we live in a generation, again, this radio show is really for emerging leaders and entrepreneurs. I believe our generation sometimes anything that happens outside of what we think should happen, it can cause us to just take a step back and not further pursue what we intended on doing.
And I'm glad that you are pointing that out, because I shared some of my story there, and I am here to tell you, and this is why when I talk to, when I go, I teach in a lot in colleges and trying to teach on more college campuses, I often say, think about your why. And for me, my daughter, it was no longer, I want to be, at the time, some of those listening may not even know, Johnny Cochran was a very prominent attorney back then, and it was, I wanted to argue a case against Johnny Cochran, because, in order for you to be the best, you want to compete against the best, if you will, or work with the best. So he was, one of the premier attorneys at the time, and I was like, I'm going to be across from him, his loss is going to be to me, kind of thing. So my point in saying that is this: you understand your why, right? Why do you do what you do? And when my life found itself where I was a mom, like making sure my daughter had options, making sure she saw, put the time in, you put the work in, life can be beautiful. That was my why. So when times get tough or the contracts don't come in like I expect them to, that my driver, my why is my driver, my why is my motivation. So if sometimes when you aimlessly just going through things or going through the journey, and you don't have a defined reason why you're doing it, sometimes that can get you off the path. So when you have the why, it's going to, not to say that you won't get down, not to say you won't get discouraged, but your why, like when I worked solely in corporate America, the picture, the most current, or the picture I love the most of my daughter, or my daughter and, two of us together, was always right there. So when I looked up from that monitor, I saw that face, and it was like, when I see that smile, like, I want to see that more. I love when she's happy. I want her to be happy, and making sure that I took care of me, so self-care, and making sure that I did the best that I can so that life can be beautiful. It doesn't mean, tons of money. It means whatever it is that's defined by you. So it could be tons of money. It could be travel all the time. It could be just being able to go to the park, not having a time that you need to, be at a certain desk at a certain time. Whatever that is for you, you have to remember why you're doing it, because that is going to motivate you every single time. That's why I said the motivation is really, for me, it's behind the why. And for still, my daughter now is much older. She's a beautiful young woman now, and it's still the why, because I feel like what I do shows her. I don't just tell her she can be anything she wants to be and that life can be beautiful. And when you put the hard work in, it pays off. She actually see that happening in what she see me doing. And that's the better example. The being an example is the better lesson that I can teach her than anything that I can tell her.
Wow. You said such a mouthful, but there were so many gems that you said, and you're right. One thing I say is there are a lot of people that want to lead people, but they don't even follow what they're teaching or what they're instilling. They're not, we don't see it in your life. So how can you effectively lead people and you're not even doing the things that you're telling other people to do? So I can attest, and I agree with you 100%. So I kind of want to shift gears, because, there's one thing being on the opposite side of the spectrum, but then when you actually begin to see success and, you're rising up in your career, we listed and you have been featured in some of the most, let's say, prevalent, because they are well-known stations, Yahoo, Black Enterprise, all these organizations and companies that we know about. Tell us how it is, being on the opposite side, having these kind of opportunities. What would you share with our audience, really being prepared to enter into certain spaces?
What I can tell you is, you ask the question to be prepared, and I think that is where I'm going to start. A lot of us, when we hear that, like you read off about me, which is sometimes when I hear that, I forget some of that stuff sometimes, is you do have to be prepared for that. And the way that I say to prepare, my advice would be to prepare for it, to just stay true to who you are. Like, when you are true to who you are, no matter which news outlet, which magazine outlet, whatever it is, whomever reach out to you, when you are being interviewed about what you do, who you are, and what your business is about, there really isn't a need for preparation, if you will. So when you are authentic in that, you are always ready. What I can say is, do you get nervous? If it's live versus not and all that, absolutely. You know, there's probably some that don't, but there is always like butterflies in the stomach. You want to make sure that you're answering, not that you don't know what you're doing, but you want to ensure that you are always putting your best foot forward in answers and how you present yourself, whatever that is. So yeah, there's butterflies and there's preparations from that perspective. But when you are authentic in who you are, what your business is about, and whatever is motivating you, what you're doing, and knowing where you're going, the interview, yeah, in my opinion, it flows better than being, you know, rehearsed, if you will. So I think I'll say preparation is being authentically yourself all the time, unapologetically, and taking opportunities as they come. So seize the moment. I remember a time, and it's funny because that I was actually trying to have lunch with that young man today. I remember somebody reaching out to me when I first started my business, which is now a little over 6 years ago, and he asked for an interview. This is an interview that would be on a local TV channel, and I said to him, wow, I just started, like, I'm not ready to be on TV yet. And he was like, okay. And I will never forget this because I was sitting in this chair and I hung up the phone from him. Within 60 seconds, I called him back. I said, you want to know what? I'm going to do it. He said, you sure? I said, yes. And right then is where I took my own advice. Like, why aren't I ready? He's going to be asking me about what I do, what I want to do, where I want the business to go. Why can't I take that interview?
Wow.
So I remember doing that. That was my very first TV interview, and it went over really well. The other things to be ready, depending on how you are, and again, this is back to the authentic self, is my hair done? Do I have to makeup and all that? So those are things that people, if it's a video one or live in person, for a news channel or something like that, people are trying to get ready for those things. But the story, the answering of the questions, like you should be able to do that right off the top, because that's about you and your story. And when you don't sound rehearsed, that lends itself, in my opinion, to a better interview.
Wow, that was so good what you said. And, you know, I want to touch on that opportunity, because so many times we get frustrated and we're upset because, you know, we feel like we're being overlooked. And, you know, I'm not saying that some of these things aren't true, but what happens when opportunity presents itself and you're not ready?
If you're listening right now, just be ready. Just be ready.
Yes.
That's all I have to say. Be ready. Because you never know when it, like that guy that I just told you about, you never know when that call to come again. And so a couple things I'll say to prepare yourself to get that call, if you will. Even if people are not liking what you put out, meaning doing the check mark or the heart or making a comment, people are watching. I have had situations where I travel all over the world for my day job and for my business, and I have been in locations where people would say, oh, I saw you, that, you know, whatever it is. Weren't you just in Trinidad? Weren't you, like, so people are watching and people see. So I would encourage you. I call social media especially if you don't have a website, I call social media your 24/7 business card. So, and I also say this, social media also shows you the best, right? So behind the scenes, there's a lot of stuff that goes into the pictures that are posted or the video reel that you see. Like, people put time and work into effort, and you're seeing the best foot that they're putting forward, but there's ugliness behind the scenes. But I encourage you to continue to show what you're doing, because somebody is watching. Somebody is watching. I kid you not. My last interview with Black Enterprise, Alfred Edmond Jr. reached out to me directly. I have watched him forever and followed him forever, but he saw my content out there. So I encourage you to continue putting out and represent who you are, right? Because the personal is a part of who you are. So it's not like, oh, I'm only going to put business posts. I'm only going to put business posts, because you aren't, like right now I'm in New York. I went out on the boat with family and friends. Like, so I posted a little bit about that. You don't have to share everything you're doing, but there's a person behind the CEO, and people want to see that as well. So I remember that. So, well, I call it the World Wide Web. Even if we have a private access, how people can see it, but be very intentional about what you show. Don't get discouraged by the lack of likes or engagement.
Wow.
People are watching and people will see. So I say represent yourself and your business the way that you want people to see it. You can't control their perception of it, but at least represent the way you want people to perceive it. And continue to put yourself out there. When that call comes, whichever channel it comes from, be ready. Be ready. From right now, be ready. Always have your, people say your elevator speech, and you can do that. Just be authentic. Like, don't try to make up what your business is or what you've done. When it's authentic, you can speak to those things like if they were yesterday that you did, and where you want your business to go, you should be able to also say that without pause.
Amen. I agree with you on that. Amen. You just said so much, and I know I said amen because that deserved the amen. Because we live in a time where
– be authentic. If you say amen, that's what you say. That's say amen.
Come on. Yes, Belle. You know, with everything that you have done and, you know, the experiences, what are three things that every entrepreneur has to have instilled in them that you believe in order for them to see success?
You have to have tenacity. Like, you have to know you this thing out here being an entrepreneur, again, pretty pictures on social, that's great, but it takes a lot to get the picture together, and it takes a lot to make the money that people are sharing and being transparent about what they make. So tenacity, I'm not saying it can't be done. It just takes a lot to make it happen. Don't be afraid of no's, because sometimes that no is preparing you for the one yes you need. So 12 no's could be because you ain't need to do those 12 different things. You needed that one yes that can just catapult you to where you want to be within your business. So tenacity, don't have fear of no, and know your worth. Know your worth.
That's the problem.
Do not price for what you think people could pay. Price for what you know the value that they're going to get.
Wow. That is a good one. That is a goal. Everything you said is good. But I believe that, you know, new entrepreneurs or those that are entering into the business area, you know, sometimes we can be so desperate that we don't know our value. And, you know, every market, you know, I know they say it's oversaturated, but everyone, you know, is in – every market, I believe, is saturated. You know, everybody is doing, you know, might be in the same industry, in different industries, but we all bring another level of spice to it or a different approach. Tell me, what differentiates you, Miss Petrina, amongst those that's in your industry?
Okay. Nobody can't do Petrina like Petrina can. Nobody else in the financial space can be Petrina. just like I can't be them. So what do I bring different? Me. I show up as me all the time. And because of my passion, my diligence in ensuring that I'm refining and perfecting my craft all the time because I care about how I show up and that you get value anytime you interact with my program, courses, workshops, etc. That's my differentiator. I'm Patrina, and Patrina is going to show up and give you value every single time. Now, does that mean other people can't give you value? Absolutely not. I just want to make sure that when you're in my room, when you go through my course, when you're on my page, you found something about it doesn't knock anybody else. Just like, I'm not too far from my house, there is a Wendy's, a McDonald's, and a Burger King. Sometimes I go to Wendy's for a baked potato because that's what I feel like for the day. Sometimes I go to McDonald's for the fish. So people go where they want to go. I don't see people, I call them my financial colleagues. I do not see them as competitors. I see them as this is a famous quote, when you make an observation, you have an obligation. I see that all of us have observed that our people in the world, a ton of them, that need a coach or guidance with their finances, and we have all decided we are going to make it our obligation to have resources ourselves and resources, courses, books, etc., available to help them.
Wow.
And we all can make money doing it. There is nobody's grabbing the entire bag in the space, in any space, in my opinion.
Wow. I love that. And the reason why I asked you to say that is because I wanted our listeners and our viewers to hear the confidence behind your why and what you do and what you bring to the table, you know, because you are going to run into a lot of people that do, I don't want to say do the same thing you're doing, but have similar aspects, but there's a different approach that you bring. There's a different... It's just so many different levels to it. So I thank you for that. I wanted to ask you, you know, when it comes to the financial aspect, you know, a lot of times we can be closed mouth, and I'm saying those that are entrepreneurs about our financial issues, literacy. What are the three most common things that you see entrepreneurs struggle with when it comes to their financials? I know there's a lot, but
mixing their business finances with their personal finances, that's what I see more than not. It's a no-no. It's a no-no, just straight. That's the only way I can answer that. It's a no-no. I see it very, 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 very often. When you are serious about starting a business, do the things, what I would call the necessary things to have you look like a business, right? And what I mean by that, we're talking about from a financial perspective. That is, have a business name, have a business designation, and meaning like LLC or, you know, single prop, whatever you're going to do, and then open a business bank account. Now, I'm talking about when you're ready, not when you're testing out the water and anything of that nature. And then the other thing that I think I see a lot is comparing what somebody else is doing to what you are achieving or have not yet achieved. And I'm not even talking about same business to same business, just in general. And sometimes people are comparing their year one to somebody else's year five or their year 10. So if you just get started, even if you're in the same business and somebody been out here like making it happen for the last 10 years, you're not going to have one the same relationship. You're not going to have, you know, the same credibility, even if you got letters behind your name. If you just have not been doing it, it's just not going to be at the same level. So trust that there's a process in everything that's done. There is, you know, put the time in. That's all I can say. Put your time in. When it's supposed to happen for you, it will. And just be diligent about what you're doing. And this is another thing I see a lot, see very often actually, is not knowing what they want for the business. I want to be in finances, or I want to, so let's just take finances. What does that mean? Like, what? Do you want taxes? Do you want real estate? Do you want, but like, I'm financial fundamentals, like budgeting, saving, credit responsibly, side hustle, entrepreneurs. There's investing, and then within investing, there's day trading, there's stocks, you know, there's real estate, there's a bunch of things. Know what actually it is you want to do and what you're trying to accomplish. And don't know it in your head. Know it on paper. Know it on the white board in your wall, in your home office, your kitchen, wherever you got to put it. Have it written down somewhere and have a goal to when you're going to reach it. And then the last thing that I think I'll say is expecting family and friends to be your purchasers, reoccurring purchasers. Most times your family or friend will purchase if you are service-based or product-based, but that's it. They're making a purchase. You're not going to be recurring clients or buy 12. You come out with a book, they're buying 12 copies. No, they'll buy a copy. They'll post a picture. But don't expect nor get discouraged because your family and friends aren't reoccurring purchasers.
Oh, that was good. You gave us some gems on today, and I am just so excited. Tell us about the upcoming events that you have going on. You have a major event that is known all across the world, those that's in the financial sphere and those that are into finance. Tell us about an upcoming event that you have coming soon.
Sure. So she's talking about FinCon. FinCon is an annual financial conference. So FinCon financial conference that I attend every year. I'm so excited about the upcoming one. It will be in Orlando, Florida. If you are in the financial space or considering, have aspirations to be in the financial space in any regard, being a content creator, blogger, podcaster, YouTuber, et cetera, this is the place you want to be. The tagline is Where the Money Nerds Unite. If you follow me on Instagram, which is at itsmymoney_, you can go to the link in my bio and click to attend. You can register right there. So this financial conference, as I mentioned, has financial gurus from all over the world. One of the speakers will be none other than Miss Patrice Washington. I think she is one of the keynote speakers. She'll be there. And yours truly will also be a speaker. I will be speaking on affiliate marketing, which is a form of passive income that I make and teach people how to make it themselves. So you can also find the link for Master Being an Affiliate within my link in my bio as well. So yeah, so FinCon will be in Orlando. It will be in September. And if you want more information on that, you can check that link out. There will be, whoever you can think of that's in the financial space, they are typically at this conference, and it happens on an annual basis. So if you're unable to tune in this year, watch out, sign up on their newsletter or whatever, and, watch out for next year as well.
Wow, I'm excited, and it looks like it's going to be amazing from what I can see. So I'm excited, and I'll definitely even myself look out. So I believe those dates are September 7th through the 10th, as Ms. Petrina already said, in Orlando, Florida. So congratulations. Is there any remaining words or encouragement? I mean, you already have said, definitely gave us encouragement and wisdom, but is there anything that you want to impart or leave as seeds to our audience?
Yes. First of all, Erica, I want to say thank you so much for having me on to share, tidbits of my story and words words for consideration, I'll call it, based on experiences that I've had. So thank you so much for having me on.
Yes.
What I will leave folks with is this. You can do whatever it is you want to do. Will the road be easy? Absolutely not. But is it possible? Is the sky the limit? No. It's just the view. And Taraji P. Henson made that comment, that quote, possible. So I don't care how old you are. I don't care what you have thought before. I don't care if you have failed before. If you have a desire or aspiration from listening to this going forward, all you have to do is believe that you can do it and it can be possible. So I wish all of you success in whatever you desire to do. And if it is not a business, which it doesn't have to be, what I'm saying, whatever the it is, it's possible to make happen.
That was so good. I thank you so much for your wisdom and your encouragement. And I know your story definitely touched our audience. It touched me. So I thank you so much. I'll make sure to leave Miss Katrina's information and how you can contact and get in contact with her to learn more about her outside of today's interview. Well, I thank you so much for being a guest here on Meaningful Conversations, and we hope to have you again sometime soon.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. And again, I'll quickly say my website is itsmymoney.info, and across social, I'm at itsmymoney_.
There it is, guys. Well, I thank you so much, and I hope you have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. You too.
Okay, bye-bye. Well, I thank you all so much for tuning in to another episode of Meaningful Conversations. As you all know, we do this three to four times a month just to inspire you, to help you to go from, again, potential to purpose. So I hope that this was helpful for you on today. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. And next Wednesday, we'll be speaking with Miss Emma Washington. She is a TED Talk speaker, but she is also a lawyer. This is going to be good. How to break through barriers using your voice. If you've been having issues being bold, being courageous and authentic using your voice, this is something that you want to listen to. All right, guys. Well, you all have a good evening, and I'll see you here next week.